We have Rock Kabatko joining us. He, of course, is the Masson Orioles beat reporter. He joins us from Maryland today. Rock, how are you, man?
Good. How are you doing?
Well, I'm excited about the series this weekend. I know the Jays have overcome a slow start to the season in the first 6 weeks or so. We were wondering if this was going to be a tire fire or a contending season. And I think around these parts, we've been waiting for the Orioles to fade, and they haven't really done that, still holding down top spot in the division. Are you shocked they sit first in the AL East through 100 games?
Yeah, when you consider the problems that we're having with the rotation, yes. I mean, I think a lot of people are picking them to finish last this year. They didn't feel like they really had addressed that issue. And at one point, they were ranked like 29th in the majors in ERA amongst starters, and yet they stayed in first place. Now, strangely, the rotation has been much better, but they're not hitting. And with this lineup, you wonder why that is. But Chris Davis and even Mark Trumbo slumping now, and Weeters, I mean, they're scuffling at the plate over these last maybe 17 games, and that's really become the issue right now. I think they're averaging about 2.8 runs a game, lost again last night, only scoring 2 runs. So, you know, and yet somehow they still make it work. And a lot of it is because they will start scoring runs in bunches again, and the bullpen's one of the best in the majors, and they've got plus defense. So they're making it work right now, but I think it's going to be, you know, Orioles, Blue Jays, and Red Sox is kind of bunched up near the top. That's going to be a really exciting race.
Yeah, and that's what makes this weekend so great. We've got 3 games between these clubs that played 7 in June. Yeah, not often you see Obaldo Jimenez allow just one earned run through 5 innings, and the Orioles don't turn that into a win. That had to sting a bit in Minnesota last night.
It had to, yeah, because you turn the game over to the bullpen, which, again, has been their strength. You would gladly take one run in 5 innings from Obaldo Jimenez the way it was scuffling. And Buck worked it where, you know, he needed a starter for that one-game makeup. And believe me, the club hated having to go there before going to Toronto. They just didn't have a choice. They lost that open date on their schedule. And Obaldo had success against the Twins in the past and had pitched well there. So Buck really found a spot for him. He was able to push back. He wants to give Gausman and Bundy an extra day rest. So all of that worked out fine, but then the bullpen faltered. And it wasn't the main guys. It was, you know, Despaigne and Chaz Rowe last night that gave up the runs. But, you know, still, when you give up one run in 5 innings, you start going to that pen, you usually feel pretty good about your chances. But, again, the offense, you know, Adam Jones homered on the first pitch of the game, and they got one more run after that. They had 2 guys thrown out at the plate in the same inning, and they just couldn't do anything beyond that.
Chris Davis comes into this series particularly cold. His last 9 games, he's hitting under 100. That isn't going to last. And in the Rogers Center, you probably can just take those stats, crumple them up, and throw them in the garbage or paper recycling, Rock, whichever you'd prefer. He seems to just absolutely crush the ball in Toronto. But is there concern in how he's played of late, or is that just way too small a sample size? Don't pay attention.
Yeah. I think it's more just typical Chris Davis. You know, if there was really concern, I think Buck would sit him for a game, or he'd lower him in the lineup, or do what he did with Adam and move him up. Jones was scuffling big time. He made him the leadoff hitter, and Jones caught fire. But with Chris, he just, you know, this is what you're going to get. You're going to get a lot of home runs. You're going to get strikeouts. You're going to get these periods where, you know, he looks lost at the plate, and then all of a sudden he heats up again. And you know, that's what they're expecting to happen. He had a couple hits last night. The other day he had a bunt single against the shift, which is really telling me. I think he was 0 for 24 at that point. He's just looking to do anything to get on base at that point. But he still draws some walks, and you know, they're going to keep him in the middle of the order, and he's giving them plus defense. Buck keeps campaigning for him to win a gold glove every time he talks to him. So they'll keep him right there because they know he's eventually going to heat up. And you're right. You look at his numbers and against the Blue Jays and in Toronto, and it's just ridiculous. Like 35 career home runs. I think he's hitting maybe 370 in Toronto. I mean, he just rates there. And Adam Jones also does well there. But that's Chris's play. So, you know, it would not surprise me at all if he really breaks out. He's starting to show some signs. You know, line single up the middle last night for his first hit, where he actually squared up and made good contact. But he's in the right place right now, for sure.
I believe he's averaging 2 home runs in at-bat in Toronto. It's that good, Rob.
I don't even know how that math works. But
it doesn't. That's how good he's been. It does not make sense. He is incomprehensibly good in Toronto. We'll see if that cooling turns around. It certainly is a different story in Toronto than any other building in the majors. What exactly does Dan Duquette have to work with here financially in the deadline? We heard they were in on Upton. I don't know how they didn't pull that off, given that the Jays gave up a 20th-ranked prospect and a kid in low A ball, and the Padres are going to pay what feels like 80 to 90% of the salary over the next, 18 months. Is there some financial flexibility? Is this purse strings tight? What do we know about Baltimore's situation ahead of Monday's deadline?
Yeah, I mean, they'll definitely expand the payroll. That was a very complicated negotiation because it wasn't just about, okay, we want Upton, and who do we have from the system, and what, how can we make the money work? They were trying to move a contract to take on that contract because obviously Ubaldo Jimenez would have gone to San Diego, and the Padres wanted two prospects, two pitching prospects, and they also wanted money from the Orioles. So then it became a very, it was a really unusual deal when you consider what they, the alternative was, or we can just take this guy from A-ball and send some money over this way. I mean, it was like, it was very, it was a completely different negotiation. And really, I don't think there were a lot of people disappointed. I mean, they wanted to move Ubaldo's contract first and foremost, but Upton was kind of a luxury in that, hey, here's a guy who could back up Adam in center field. They don't really have a true center fielder now on the roster beyond him. And a guy who, okay, you know, we could plug him in. Oh, when, if Trumbo leaves as a free agent this year after this season, we could maybe put him in his spot. But that's not really what they need right now. And if you're going to play him in left field regularly, you're sitting Hyun-Soo Kim, who is hitting over 300 and is their leader in on-base percentage. So it didn't all make sense to me other than trying to move Ubaldo's contract and freeing up a spot in the bullpen where I assume he's going to go back. They need a rotation help, even though they're pitching so well right now. They're still out looking for a starter. These guys are coming off the market. Cashner just came off this morning. That was a guy they were scouting heavily. They like Hellickson a lot. They're scouting him. The problem is, what do they have in the system that they can give up compared to other teams? It's a very thin pitching market, as Duquette's pointed out multiple times. And there are a lot of teams fishing from that shallow pool right now of starting pitchers, and they just don't have the prospects that other teams have that are willing to give up, and that's where it becomes a challenge.
Yeah, no, you nailed it. It's a few decent pitchers and a lot of teams looking to upgrade their pitching. That's the old supply and demand curve where things get very expensive very quickly. I don't know how you could justify giving up top prospects for a guy that might come in and be a third or fourth best starter on a team, but you feel like in Baltimore, you have to see it done because the rotation has been so shoddy this year.
And Cashner's a fine example. I know he's pitched really well his last maybe three starts, but before that, we're looking at a guy with a 5 ERA and a 1.4 whip, and he was one of the top starters available. That tells you how thin it is and how badly teams want pitching, that they're all clamoring to get this guy. This is Andrew Cashner. And then, you know, so what were you going to give up? And, you know, Hellickson has been pitching very well, and that's a guy that would really fit for them. I know they really like him, but again, that's going to be tricky. But when you look at a rotation that right now has Ubaldo back in it for however long, Vance Worley was in there. They're trying to stretch out Dylan Bundy right now, and he's pitched really well, but, you know, there's still somewhat of a limit on him, pitch limit. Ending's limit on him as they slowly try and build him up, and yet you're a team that's in first place and trying to stay there while you're experimenting with him and going with these other guys that are plugging in here and there. That shows that they really need to improve their rotation, the depth of the rotation, and bring in another starter. You know, Rich Hill's a guy that they've been looking at, which amazes me because I covered Rich Hill with the Orioles in 2009 when he was awful. He was hurt and he was terrible, and now he's one of the top available pitchers. He's completely turned his career around in like 1 year, so they're going to have to do something, and I don't know how they're going to get it done, and it is going to be somebody who's probably more of a back end of the rotation type guy, but at least it would be somebody that provides them with more depth than what they have right now.
It's funny, everyone's picking apart this Orioles rotation, and yet here's a first-place team in a division that's got four teams over 500. That's impressive. What's been the biggest Cinderella or sweetheart story this year in Maryland? Is it Machado, Trumbo, Kim? I know Kim was a tough decision in the spring, and he's been unbelievable for them.
Yeah, really, Kim has been a big story. This is the guy that they wanted to send down to AAA, and his contract wouldn't allow it without his consent because he was just struggling so much in spring training. They thought he needed basically an expanded spring training down in AAA, and he wouldn't go. And fans, there were fans that booed him, and he had introductions on opening day, looking at him as a selfish player who didn't do what was best for the team as well as himself. And Buck barely played him in April, and now he is the regular left fielder against right-handed pitching, and he's been much better than I think any of us anticipated. Now, Buck said it helped that he was able to kind of sit that first month, take things in, ease his way in, instead of just being thrust right to the lineup. So he's been a huge story for them. He gives them something they need. That, you know, they always rank near or bottom in the majors and on-base percentage, and this year they're among the best, and he's a big reason why. So he's been a big story. And obviously Chris Tillman, the bounce back season. That's all we kept hearing all off season. Chris Tillman has to bounce back from what he did last year, and that's exactly what he's done. He's looked like an ace. Now we know the issues he has in Toronto, but he has been their ace this year. I mean, 14-3 and at a 3-something ERA. He's been outstanding. So that's been a big plus for them as well, because if Chris was struggling right now like he had last year, this would not be a first-place team.
Yeah, no question. It's going to be a real good matchup Sunday. Tillman against Sanchez, that would be the Jays' best chance at a Cy Younger in terms of what Sanchez has put together. Tillman, for sure, the ace of the Baltimore staff. Tonight, it's Estrada versus Gausman. What can you tell us about Kevin Gausman's season and what we could expect? I just ignore win-loss records, so I'm not worried about that, but the ERA isn't horrible.
No, he's been good. You're right to ignore the one-loss record, which is so deceiving when you're ranking pitchers anyway, because so much is out of their control. He's much better than those numbers show. And, you know, that was the other big thing. It was Tillman had to have the bounce-back season, and Gausman had to take the next step, in quotation marks. And he shows signs of doing that. It's just not happening consistently. But you can see it's there. And they think eventually he will be a number one starter, and they're just happy to be able to run him out there every 5 days. He's not on that shuttle with AAA anymore. He's not going to the bullpen. Every 5 days, he's getting the ball. And, you know, it's everything's there. And his strikeouts are up, and he's much better than the numbers are showing. So they just need him to get a little bit more consistent and be able to put together consecutive, like, quality starts, which, you know, you'll get a couple really good starts from him, and then one not so good. They just need the consistency from him. But he is the real deal, and they're really excited about him.
I always love this question. You get so insulated in fandom or in the market you live in. Could you give us the scouting report as an outsider on the Toronto Blue Jays of the American League East in Major League Baseball?
I picked them, you know, and everybody had a different opinion, it seemed like. There are people that were picking the Rays to win it, the Red Sox, Orioles, whoever. And to me, I kept saying, look, unless they prove otherwise, you still got to make the Jays the favorite. That's just a scary lineup, and it's a good rotation. And I think there were some questions about the bullpen that they tried to address. I mean, it's just, you know, up and down the lineup. It's a team that you know, they can hurt you. And I love the rivalry with the Orioles, and I think it's really become a legit rivalry. I just sense these teams don't like each other. And, you know, you see a lot of examples of that. And it's not just Bautista and O'Day, though. That's always exciting when they're matched up. I think they just irritate each other. And that's it adds to it. It's one of the better rivalries, I think, right now in baseball. And that's why I think a lot of fans look forward to it, because there's genuine dislike on both sides. And that includes with the fans. And I know, man, if I tweet anything with the Jays, I'm going to hear from fans. And, I mean, they're very passionate about the team. They search out their team name, and they come at you. We always joke about that in the press box. So I think it's a great rivalry. But it's to me, they're still the team that you have to beat, even though the Orioles are in first place right now. The Jays, they have a lot of respect. The Orioles may not like the Jays, but they certainly respect them, and it's a very dangerous ball club. So I think there's also the it irritates people on this side that Gibbons seems to come out of the dugout three times an inning. And that's just a running joke. I know it's not really that often. It just seems like he's out of the dugout a lot. The game slows down. I know a lot of people on this side complain about that. There's just a lot of little things that Orioles fans get irritated about the Blue Jays. I'm sure the other way around. I'm sure Buck's not a popular figure in Toronto. It's a fantastic rivalry. And I assume that's how it's viewed on that side as well.
It really is. No, you're right. Throwing at each other, and Bautista and Darren O'Day have had some epic at-bats and matchups. You have chirping between the dugouts. And not only is the Jays rotation leading the American League by a lot of measures, John Gibbons has actually been tossed more than any other manager in the league. So that's another league-leading stat that I'm sure Orioles fans would enjoy.
They absolutely would enjoy that, yes.
Hey, thanks for joining us today.
It's hard to get thrown out nowadays too with all the challenges. Buck's like, I can't get thrown out, I'm trying. And they're like, hey, would you like me to review this? He's like, I guess so. I can't even yell at you now.
There was a Toronto Texas series that the Odor punch on Bautista, and following that there was a week, and I believe Gibbons had managed 2 out of 7 games. He was suspended for a bunch and got kicked out of a few others. It was an impressive run, so we look forward to the weekend. Maybe Gibby will finish one of these games on the bench. Thanks for joining us today, Rock.
All right, my pleasure. Thanks.